بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. صلوات بنيك بارك. I mentioned last night that based on the alternative date for the shahadat of Bibi Fatima Zahra salawatullah alayha, we had the program last night, and realizing that it's a Thursday, we just combined two nights together. And I would like to basically continue the theme that I discussed about it. And that was the issue whether the house of Fatima was attacked or not. Last night, we looked at the evidence in form of the regret expressed by the first Khalifa from the Sunni sources by Abu Ubaid Al-Qasim bin Salam in his book, which was, and this we are talking about, before the Sahih Bukhari. The simple confession by the first Khalifa is more than sufficient for us to prove that the tragedy took place as far as attack on the house of Fatima is concerned. And as I said, you know, if the confession, a simple confession from those who were responsible, is on one side, then the details we don't want to learn from them. We can learn from the victims. And that is where then we go to our own sources. Tonight I would like to, you know, continue that theme and present to you another important evidence from the non-Shi'i source. And interestingly, this is actually a letter that Muawiyah wrote to Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. In Nahj al-Balagha, the second section of Nahj al-Balagha is compiled by Sayyid Razi, are the letters of Amir al-Mu'minin. And letter number 28 is a very extraordinary letter. According to Sayyid Razi himself, he says, وَهُوَ مِنْ مَحَاسَنِ الْكُتُبِ. He says, this is one of the best of the letters of Amir al-Mu'mineen. As far as, you know, eloquency of the language is concerned, clarity of the thoughts is concerned. However, this letter was not initiated by Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is a response of Amir al-Mu'mineen to the letter of Muawiyah. And so really to understand the impact of this letter, to appreciate what Ali is saying there, you can't really grasp that fully unless you go and read the letter of Muawiyah first. So Nahj al-Balagha has that missing element there. To understand that letter, you need to first go and read the letter of Muawiyah. Of course, Sayyid Razi's purpose was not to gather everything. He was just talking about the speeches and the letters and sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But fortunately for us, a scholar who came about two centuries after Sayyid Razi, the compiler of Nahj al-Balagha, a Sunni scholar, a Mu'tazili Sunni scholar by the name of Ibn Abil Hadid al-Mu'tazili, he came about two centuries after Sayyid Razi, and he was so much impressed with Nahj al-Balagha that he ended up writing a commentary on Nahj al-Balagha, which in the modern edition is there in 20 volumes. It's one of the most extensive commentary of Nahj al-Balagha by a Sunni scholar. And there in volume 15, in commentary of this letter of Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, he gives the entire letter of Muawiyah in page number 185 to 187. And so we have now, you know, the ability to look at the letter of Muawiyah and the response that Amir al-Mu'min has written to him. Timeline, this is a time when Muawiyah, Amir al-Mu'minin had already dealt with the people of Jamal in Basra. Now he has settled in Kufa as his capital. Siffin has not yet happened. And now, you know, Muawiyah knew that Amir al-Mu'minin is going to now go after him. So he, in a way, wanted to do a preemptive move there. He sent an ambassador by the name of Abu Umama al-Bahili with a letter. And the way he wrote the letter was actually, you know, he has some very shrewd politicians around him as his advisors. And in that letter, Muawiyah began by praising the Prophet and his achievements. And then he praises the achievements of the first three Khulafa. And then he grades them. He says, after Rasulullah, the best in the Ummah is the first Khalifa. And then the second is the second Khalifa. And the third is the third Khalifa. Why did he do this? He's actually trying to taunt Amir al-Mu'mineen, that you are not on that level. And the reason why he wanted to taunt Amir al-Mu'mineen was to, you know, provoke him, so that then Ali will respond to his letter by saying that all these achievements we're talking about, the Khulafa, this is not valid. Or he might write something negative about them. If he gets such a letter from Ali, then he can use to the, in front of the people of Sham in Syria. And he says, see, Ali is actually bad-mouthing your Khulafa, because they believed in the Khulafa anyway. But Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, didn't give him this opportunity. This is where we have to realize the wisdom of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, he gives the response, hits him very hard, without giving him what he wants. Imam says that, you know, he doesn't say anything about the Khulafa and their achievements and their praises that Muawiyah has written. Rather, Imam actually points, number one, to the futility of the argument of Muawiyah. He says, زَعَمْتَ أَنَّ أَفْضَلَ النَّاسِ فَالْإِسْلَامِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَلَا وَفَلَا. You think that in Islam, after Rasulullah, so-and-so is on the highest level. فَذَكَرْتَ أَمْرًا, and then you gave your own evidence, achievements of these people. Look at it now. He says, إِن تَمَّ اعتزلك كله. If your words about them and their achievements is true, then those achievements have bypassed you. It doesn't add to your personality. They have achieved. What have you done? وَإِن نَقَسَ, and if this is not true, then, you know, you don't lose anything. So this argument that you have, you know, it doesn't really help you positively or negatively. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen reminds him of his own background, of Muawiyah. He says, مَا أَنْتَ وَالْفَاضِلُ وَالْمَفْضُولُ وَالسَّائِسُ وَالْمَسُوسُ. What do you have to do with who is superior, who is inferior, who is a leader, who is a follower? Who has given you that, you know, right to, you know, grade the companions? And then, وَمَا لِلطَّلَقَاءِ وَأَبْنَاءُ الطَّلَقَاءِ وَالتَّمْئِيزِ بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَتَرْتِيبِ دَرَجَاتِهِمْ وَتَعْرِيفِ طَبَقَاتِهِمْ. He says, what have the freed slaves and their sons to do with the grading of the Muhajirin and Ansar? He's referring to his father and him. You know, Rasulullah could have made Abu Sufyan and Muawiyah his slaves. But on the day of Fath Makkah, conquest of Makkah, he said, go, I make you free. I have a right to make you slaves, but I'm not. I'm being merciful here. So now Ali is saying, you know, who gave the right to these freed slaves and their sons to do with the grading of the Muhajirin and Ansar and to assign their levels and describe their status? You know, look at yourself. Not only that, then Amir al-Mu'mineen says, reminds him of the difference between Banu Umayyah and Banu Hashim. And he says, we have been kind to you, we have interacted with you, that doesn't mean you are equal to us. And he gives an example. You know, he says, on the level of categories, look at the leaders. مِنَّ النَّبِي وَمِنْكُمُ الْمُكَذِّبِ. Nabi belongs to us, my family. Whereas the person who rejected is your father from your family. Look at those who are courageous in jihad. مِنَّ أَسَدُ اللَّهُ وَمِنْكُمْ أَسَدُ الْأَحْلَافِ. In the earlier battles, the lion of Allah was from my family, Hamza. Whereas the lion of Kuffar was Utba bin Abi Rabia, who is your grandfather from your mother's side. Minna, and coming to the youths, he says, Minna Sayyid Shabab Ahl al Jannah, wa minkum Sibyatun Nar. If you look at the youths of paradise are from my home. And when it comes to your youths, they are actually, you know, the youths of hellfire, referring to Utba bin Abi Mu'id. About women, he says, "Minna khayran nisa al-alamin, wa minkum hammalat al-hatab." The best of the women is from my home, my wife. Where is hammalat al-hatab? You know, Surah Tabbat Yad Abi Lahab, the wife of Abu Lahab. So she is from your family. She is actually a sister of Muawiyah, Umm Jamil. And so, you know, don't think that you are equal to me on this issue. So he's basically now responding to him without saying anything about the Khulafa. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. It's a very interesting method of how to deal with this issue, to say what you want to say without being provoked by the other side. And then he summarizes. He says, وَلَوْلَ مَا نَحَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مِنْ تَسْكِيَّةِ الْمَرْءِ نَفْسَهُ. He says, if Allah had not forbidden a person to praise himself, brag about himself, you would have seen me saying so many things about myself. But I would not. I could have said many things where the hearts of the mu'mineen will recognize and accept it and listen to it. But he says, I'll suffice with one sentence only. And what is that? He talks about himself and the Ahlul Bayt. فَإِنَّا سَنَايَ رَبِّنَا وَالنَّاسِ بَعْدُ صَنَايَ لَنَا. He says, the difference between the whole Ummah and us is that we are the direct recipient of Allah's favors and blessings, while others receive the blessings from us after that. Salawat pranay barah. This is our early part of the letter and how Amir al-Mu'mineen responds to it, but let me now come to the main point. We were looking for the evidence of the tragedy which took place after Rasulullah, the attack on the house of Fatima. Muawiyah, basically, in trying to provoke Amir al-Mu'mineen, then he says, you know, you are jealous of the three Khulafa. You revolted against them. You refused to do bay'at. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, uses the drum. He says, even if this is true, you're accusing me of being jealous. Even if it's true, what has that to do with you? Did they appoint you as a wakil, their attorney or representative, to come and argue with me about them? They're gone. That's between me and them. Nothing to do with you. But then Muawiyah comes to what I call the height of provocation. Writes something where he was sure Ali will react emotionally, aggressively. He says, referring to the days of the first Khalifa after Rasulullah's wafat, he says, you refuse to pledge allegiance. Remember, this is in the context, he says, you are asking me to do bayat to you. Muawiyah is saying to Ali. He says, you refuse to pledge allegiance to the first Khalifa. Hatta humilta ilayhi qahran. Until you were brought to him forcefully. This is one sentence. How? Tusaqu bi khazaim al ikhtisar kama yusaqu al fahl al mahshush. You were brought to the Khalifa forcefully while you were dragged with the strong rope like a camel is dragged with the rope on the noose string. Look at the example he's giving. The way people, you know, drag the camel. He says, you were dragged at that time to come to the Khalifa to pay allegiance. And this is where I would say, you know, those who say, oh, nothing happened on that day. Everything was fine. You know, one of the prominent contemporary Sufi scholars says, oh, ye to shir shakar thay ye log. Koi jagda hi nahi tha. You know, everything was fine. They were okay with what happened. Well, what does Muawiyah say here? That Ali is being forcefully brought, dragged like a camel, is being dragged with the rope which is attached to the nose string of the camel. And this is where we have to realize this is not from a Shia source. It's not a Shia writing. This is, at least the Wahhabis call him Amir-e-Sham, isn't it, in Urdu? He's your Amir. This is what he's describing. He's taunting Amirul Mu'mineen. That you are asking me for bayat. Remember the day you were being dragged in this way? And this is where we have to realize this is about the day when the house of Fatima was attacked. But let us see what is the response of Ali to that part of the letter. In the letter of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, Ali does not deny what Muawiyah had written. If this had not happened, Amir al-Mu'mineen could have very easily said, you know, what nonsense you're talking about. But no, Ali doesn't say, you know, this didn't happen. He says, قُلْتَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ أُقَادُ كَمَا يُقَادُ الْجَمَلُ الْمَقْشُوشُ حَتَّى أُبَايِعِ. You have said that I was dragged like a camel with a nose string to swear allegiance. وَلَعُمْرُ اللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَرَدْتَ أَن تَضُمَّ فَمَدَحْتَهِ. By Allah, you intended to disgrace me by this statement, but you actually praised me in it. وَإِن تَفْضَحْ افْتَضَحْتَ. And you wanted to humiliate me, but you will be humiliated yourself. How? He says, وَمَا عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ مِنْ غَضَاضَةٍ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَظْلُومًا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ شَاكًا فِي دِينِهِ. Because there is no blame on a Muslim to be mazloom and oppressed as long as he is still firm on his iman and his faith. Ali is describing himself as a mazloom in that situation. He says, you're trying to disgrace me. You're not disgraced me. I am mazloom. Disgraced is the zalim, not me. And this is more than enough for us. That when we see this letter of Muawiyah, and Amir al-Mu'mineen not denying what happened. And this is where we have to realize, you know, this whole issue, how could this have happened? Prominent Sahaba, you know, we are being very careful in how I'm presenting this. We don't want to use any abusive terms. But historical events and realities cannot be forgotten, especially at a time when we have people who actually create doubts about it. Somebody said, Maulana, why are you selected this topic? And I'm looking at this situation, and that is why I bring this up, you know, whether this happened or not. Remember a point which I made yesterday, and I would like to emphasize, that the basic evidence that the tragedy took place, as far as the attack of Fatima is concerned, is confirmed with the confession by the first Khalifa, and even this statement by Muawiyah, besides all many other things that we can bring up. But what actually happened? The details. We go to our own sources. At least in this letter of Muawiyah, we see one scene of what happened inside. When he says, you were being dragged like a camel, it means they went in. It means they arrested him. They tied him in ropes and then pulled him. At least these details are there based on this letter of Muawiyah himself. But if you want to see other details, we go to our own sources. Interestingly, I began with this letter from Nahal Balagha. The compiler, Sayyid Razi, is a prominent alim of Arabic literature. That is the basis on which he compiled the sayings of Amir al-Mu'minin and the sermons. He also has another book known as Khasa'is al-A'immah, where he talks about the qualities of the imams. And remember, he's not that far away from early Ghaybat. You have Sheikh Saduq, Ghaybat al-Sughra, his student Mufid, and his student is Sayyid Razi and his brother Sayyid Murtaza. So they are not that far away from the days of the Imam. And Sayyid Razi, based on his sources, gives the sanad, the chain of narration, going all the way to Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam. So you have some people in between Sayyid Razi and the seventh Imam as the Ruwat. And then the seventh Imam continues the chain that I heard from my forefathers going all the way until the early days. And he talks about the last days of Rasulullah. And this is important to know about it. And of course, this is from our source. That the Prophet, at a moment when the family members were there, but Ali was not there. And whenever he would gain consciousness, he would say, Aina Ali. Eventually, Ali came. And, you know, he sat down by Rasulullah. Bibi Fatima was there, other family members. And then, according to that narration from the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet started talking about what will happen after I pass away. He says, remember, they will be busy in whatever they are planning. You will be busy with me as far as, you know, my funeral rites are concerned. But then he says something to Ali at that time. And this is very important. Many people say, why did Ali not take out this sword and go and fight for his khilafat? The Prophet says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُكَ فِي الْأُمَّةِ مَثَلُ الْكَعْبَةِ. Remember Ali, your example in the Ummah is the example of the Kaaba. إِنَّمَا تُؤْتَى وَلَا تَأْتِي. The Kaaba doesn't go to people. People come to the Kaaba. And so he's saying that after, you know, I've already talked to them, I've mentioned about your rights, collectively as well as individually, and all of them said, yes, we believe. But Allah knows the truth. Then he says, you know, when I pass away, you don't need to go then and ask for the Khilafat and your right. It is their duty to come to you. And so already, you know, he says, فَعَلْزِمْ بَيْتَكْ وَاجْمَعِ الْقُرْآنَ لَا تَعْلِيفِهِ. Stay at home. Compile the Quran according to the way it was revealed. And وَعَلَيْكَ, this is the last statement there. He says, وَعَلَيْكَ بِالصَّبْرِ أَلَا مَا يُنزِلُ بِكَ وَبِهَا. And O Ali, I urge you to maintain patience. Sabr on what will happen to you and her until you join me on the day of Qiyamah by the Hawza Kawthar. And so this is where something we have to realize, that the advice of Amir al-Mu'mineen, of Rasulullah to Amir al-Mu'mineen was to maintain sabr and patience. And this is where many people say, oh, why didn't Ali go himself behind the door? Why did he allow his wife to go? There is another narration connected to this, and this is from Kitab-e-Sulaym. I'm using that narration here just to complete this story. That Rasulullah told Ali, you will maintain sabr. If you really want to understand the greatness of Ali, it's not in Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and Khaybar. If you really want to understand the greatness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, it is in this incident after wafat of Rasulullah. When they broke the door, came in, you know, many people ask this question, and I avoided it last night, but I was asked, if you want to know, did Ali show any reaction? Yes, initially he stood up. He stood up and got a hold of the leader of the group who had come. Basically, hold his collar, pull him up, and threw him down on the ground. Ali got on him, started hitting him on his face and on his neck with the intention of killing him. فَذَكَرَ قَوْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. This is his riwayat. He remembered what Rasulullah had said. You know, he can see what happened to Fatima. This is Ali, most courageous of the Arabs. Yet he immediately remembers what Rasulullah said. And at that time, he says to the leader of the group there, وَالَّذِي كَرَّمَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالنُّبُوَّةِ. By the name of the one who has honored Muhammad with nubuwwat. يَبْنَ السُّحَاقِ لَوْ كَانَ لَا كِتَابَ مِنَ اللَّهِ سَبَقْ. If it was not because of the Ahda Rasulullah, the advice that he had given to me, you would have seen that you would not be able to enter my home. And so when we talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen, then why didn't he react? This is where his hands were tied. For the greater interest of the Ummah and survival of the faith. You know, we normally talk about the Masaib of Fatima al-Zahra, and indeed, she is Ummul Masaib in that way. Amir al-Mu'mineen is Mazloom. But in this incident, sometimes we forget the children who are in the house. There is no narration. I don't know where Hassan and Hussein, where were they looking? I don't know Zainab and Umm Kulsoom, where they were looking at the mother on one side. Or the father on the other hand. Bibi Fatima al-Zahra ke masaib badi mushkil hain. Lekin jo aziyat hui thi, Mohsin ki jo shahadat waqai hui hai, us halat mein bhi Ali ko bachane wali agar koi thi to Fatima thi. اتنی اذیت ہوئی تھی کہ یہ بی بی آخری جو وصیتیں کرتی ہیں امیر المومنین سے اس میں ایک وصیت یہی تھی کہ علی ہم اس بات کے لیے راضی نہیں ہیں کہ میرے جنازے میں وہ لوگ شریک ہوں جنہوں نے مجھ پر ظلم کیا ہے جو میرے دشمن ہے اور جب وہ وقت آتا ہے آخری دن تھا وہ کہ جناب سیدہ اسما بنت امیس کو بلاتی ہیں کہتی ہیں وضو کے لیے پانی لے کے آؤ میرے لیے وضو کرتی ہیں اس کے بعد اسما سے کہتی ہیں تم دروازے کے پاس بیٹھ جانا جب تک میری تسبیح کی آواز آتی رہے سمجھنا کہ ہم زندہ ہیں لیکن جب آواز بند ہو جائے سمجھنا کہ ہم اب اس دنیا میں نہ رہے جناب اسما نے کان لگایا ہوا تھا دروازے پہ, بار بار تسبیح کی آواز آ رہی تھی, لیکن ایک وقت بھی آیا کہ تسبیح کی آواز بالکل ختم ہو جاتی ہے. اسما نے جب دروازہ کھولا ہے تو دیکھتی ہیں کہ بنت رسول اس دنیا میں نہ رہی. دوڑتی ہیں حسن اور حسین کو, کہتی ہیں جا کے بابا کو بلا کے لے آؤ. عزاداران حسین علی آتے ہیں گھر کے اندر, اور جو وصیت تھی بی بی کے اس لحاظ سے غسل و کفن کا انتظام ہوا. علی نے خود وصیت کے مطابق جناب سیدہ کو غسل دیا. اسما بنت امیس آ رہی تھی مدد کرنے کے لیے پانی کے عنوان سے, لیکن خود اصحاب جو مسجد النبی کے صحن میں بیٹھے ہوئے تھے, ایک روایت ملتی ہے کہ ان لوگوں نے ایک مرتبہ علی کی چیخنے کی آواز سنی ہے. علی کو محراب میں روتے ہوئے لوگوں نے سنا ہے, لیکن چیخ مار کے روتے ہوئے کسی نے نہیں سنا تھا. پہلی بات ہے جب پوچھا گیا اس وقت علی کہتے ہیں کہ میں نے جب کپڑے کے نیچے سے جب غسل دینا شروع کیا, جب ہاتھ پہلو پہ جاتا ہے تب اندازہ ہوا کتنی اذیت سے بنت رسول گزری ہے, مجھ سے سر صبر نہ ہو سکا. اس وقت چیخ کے رونا شروع کر دیتے ہیں. عزاداران حسین سلمان یا ابو ذر ان میں سے ایک سے کہتے ہیں کہ جا کے اعلان کر دو کہ جنازہ ابھی نہیں اٹھے گا, لوگ چلے جائیں. جب وقت رات کا وقت آ جاتا ہے, تاریک شب میں صرف گھر کے کچھ افراد تھے اور کچھ وفادار اصحاب تھے جن کے ساتھ یہ جنازہ اٹھا ہے. عزاداران حسین یہ آخری نبی کی تنہا بیٹی ہے, اس کا جنازہ اتنی مظلومیت کے ساتھ اٹھایا جا رہا ہے, یہی دلیل ہے کہ کتنا مظلوم یہ بی بی تھی. جب امیر المومنین نے لحد میں جناب سیدہ کے جسد اقصد کو وہاں رکھا ہے, ایک روایت کے لحاظ سے دو ہاتھ نمودار ہوئے. علی نے رسول کے ہاتھ کو پہچان لیا, امانت کو سبرد کرتے ہیں, لیکن اتنا کہتے ہیں کہ مولا آپ کی امانت صحیح سالم ملی تھی, امت کے ظلم کے آثار کو سیدہ سے پوچھ لے. اپنے دل میں بہت اذیتوں کو لے کے اپنے ساتھ آپ کی طرف آ رہی ہے. عزاداران حسین امیر المومنین نے تدفین کے بعد کئی اور قبروں کے نشان بنائے. جب دوسرے دن یہ معلوم ہوا ان لوگوں کو کہ جناب سیدہ جو ہے دفن ہو چکی ہے, وہ آتے ہیں یہ کہنے کے لیے کہ ہم قبر کو کھولیں گے تاکہ ہم نماز ادا کر سکے. عزاداران حسین علی جو ہمیشہ صبر سے کام رہتا تھا, اس بار تلوار کو اٹھا لاتے نکالتے ہیں, کہتے ہیں خبردار کسی نے ایک قبر کو بھی ہاتھ لگایا, اس وقت خون کی نہر جو ہے بہنا شروع ہو جائے گی. بس مولا سے ایک جملہ کہیں گے, مولا آپ نے فاطمہ کو دفن کر دیا, لیکن مجھے ایک اور علی یاد آتا ہے جو کربلا سے روانہ تو ہوا لیکن بابا کے لاش کو بو بے گور و کفن ضمیر کربلا پر چھوڑ کے جاتا. الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون. خداوند اس قرل با قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوند شیان علی جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ, تکفیری افواج کے تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.